back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So you're going back there tonight?
I am. I'm going back there tonight. I had a room at the hotel tonight, so I'm leaving our El Pacifico studio, and I'm driving back to the hotel.
Why'd you do that?
Because we had the meeting took longer than usual, man, so I wasn't able to check out, so I just stayed there. And then I got in the car, and I came here.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's making sense to me, man, okay? That's the only person that it needs to make sense for. Unlike you, who stayed in a hotel room so long because you needed to use the bathroom.
What? Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I don't know. It's just weird. So you, in other words, you checked into a hotel, and then you checked out.
Yeah, and I got to check back in.
Why?
Because I need to use the toilet.
Why didn't you use the toilet in the lobby or something?
Because it was more private.
So this guy gets a hotel for another night just because he needs to use the toilet for 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, well, a lot of you people don't understand. That's the way I did it.
Okay, man. Not, you know. However, yeah, so I'm going back there tonight. Tough. Okay, if you don't like it, tough. Anyway, welcome back to our program here and one more hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I have to pull off a couple of things here. A reminder that we are leaving Talk Radio Network on the 24th for our affiliates. For those of you who have stayed with us, for those of you who want to stay with us, we have been in touch with you. We'll continue to stay in touch with you as we move on to a new terrestrial platform. And in moving on to a new terrestrial platform, indeed we will do. We will press on regardless, man, as Russ Wheeler used to say, a guy that was on the air in Orlando, Florida, back in the day when I first started my career. Now,
you were reading about Jennifer Love Hewitt. Now, are you done with that?
Yeah, I'm done with it.
All right, so here's something else I'd like you to look at. Get a load of this. This is John Travolta crashing a wedding party looking like a slob.
Let me look at this here. John Travolta's wedding crash in jeans and T-shirt. So?
Well, what kind of an animal does that? If they're tuxedos, Phil... See, John Travolta is a big star. He's a big, big, big star. He's a movie star. And I suppose he can do anything he wants, but I think at some point there needs to be... I just don't like it. If John Travolta showed up for my wedding in jeans and a T-shirt and a baseball cap, I don't know what I would do. I wouldn't call the police. I wouldn't throw him out. I'd let him stay and wait for an opportune moment.
To do what?
Yeah.
To do something. I don't know what.
God, I mean, you know, Margaret, with you, everything is like got to be a violent reprisal.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't throw him out, and I wouldn't wait. I'd wait for an opportunity.
It would make me angry, yeah, if the most important part of the bestest...
The most important day of your life?
No, I wasn't going to say that. On the best and most important day of my life, that's what I was going to say.
Well, you changed it because Mr. Hendry said that it...
Just shut up, bud. Yes.
Thank you, Phil. On the best and most importantest...
On the best and most important day of your life...
Yes. On the best and most important day of my life, if John Travolta shows up in a T-shirt and a baseball cap, my God, he's asking for $300 worth.
Well, John Travolta's wedding crash wearing jeans, a black T-shirt, and a baseball cap was nothing formal, but for the bride and groom and their wedding guests, it was one big surprise. The night before their wedding, the soon-to-be married couple met John Travolta at a bar, and the next day he crashed their wedding, reported E! Online on June the 4th, 2013. How about that?
Well, what about it?
These are just a couple of people that he met in a bar. He wasn't, he hadn't been invited.
Well, so he meets them in the bar. Can't he get into something?
He met him in a bar. I bet you it was a big thrill for these kids to see John Travolta and to have him actually come to their wedding reception. Travolta's unexpected wedding crash came to light when a friend of the groom shared the amazing surprise wedding crash event on Reddit. My friend ran into John Travolta the night before his wedding, and he shows up the next day. Apparently, John Travolta was in Georgia in order to get his pilot license renewed.
That dead in Russia?
No, Georgia in America.
Oh.
No, it wasn't Georgia, Russia. You mean the one that's near Russia.
Yeah, is that Russia or what is that?
It's Georgia.
Not Georgia. I mean, where's Georgia?
The one that you're talking about is near Russia. It used to be a part of the Soviet Union. It is a republic. It's a country, Georgia.
Right. That was in Russia.
It wasn't in Russia. No. Russia's Russia. Georgia's Georgia. Lithuania's Lithuania.
He doesn't get it, Phil.
All right. So in any event, it's a different... No, he wasn't there, but he was in the state of Georgia, which is here in the United States.
I get that part.
Well, good. That's the only part you need to get. So anyway, John Travolta was in Georgia to try to get a pilot his pilot license renewed. When he ran into the young couple at a bar and learned about their wedding the next day, John Travolta spontaneously decided to crash the wedding. While some Reddit commentators wonder if John Travolta ever made it out of his clothes from the night before or if he was wearing the same jeans and T-shirt to the wedding as he did at the bar, no one at the wedding party cared, although a few could smell. I'm kidding, okay?
Well, see, I was going to ask that. If he'd been partying in the same jeans and T-shirt, and you know, you sweat, and you're going to spill a drink, and you walk into a wedding, and you stink like...
Well, I don't know, Margaret.
You stink like you've been sleeping in your car, and if you had sex, now you've got that stink on you.
Uh-huh. Anything else?
What's your problem?
Yeah, what's wrong, Miss Henry?
Well, you're sitting there. I get it, okay? If you had sex.
Boy, you really are a tight ass, aren't you? Boy, that's too bad.
While some Reddit commentators wonder if Travolta ever made it out of his clothes, no one at the party seemed to care. The actor who...
Yeah, right there. See, the actor who stunk out among the tuxes. Are you ready for that? Who stunk it out among the tuxes and the tull.
No, it says stuck out.
It says he stunk it out. No, you're right.
Stuck out.
Did it say stunk it out?
Stuck out. The actor who stuck out among the tuxes and tulle, what is T-U-L-L-E, in a black T-shirt and jeans, didn't just pose for a pic with the newlyweds either. He took the bride into a bedroom. I'm kidding. He also joined the entire wedding party for a group shot, a group grope, and had drinks.
Whee!
I think that's in bad taste.
Well, you know what? You guys, I'm telling you, I got to do something to lighten this up because you're bugging me, man.
What is wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong with me. It doesn't say the actor stunk it out. It says the actor stuck out among the tuxes in a black T-shirt and jeans. He stuck out. You keep wanting to say he stunk it out.
Well, I bet you did stink it out if he's wearing that.
Yeah, you know why you say that, man? Because Margaret said that. That's why you're saying it. Because, well, he must have stunk it out. What the hell is this? Teen builds his own submarine for $2,000. Big deal. So what? So he builds his own submarine for $2,000. I bet you if he uses that submarine long enough, that'll be a submarine and a coffin.
Hey!
What a black soul you have.
That's me. All right, coming back, we'll look into this teen who built a submarine for $2,000. How about that? And also, 100 students are ejected from a New York to Atlanta flight after acting the fools, I guess. We'll see. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Show. Michelle Obama stares down heckler at fundraiser. Michelle Obama isn't quite as tolerant of hecklers as her husband is. If a late Tuesday confrontation is any indication, Obama speaking at a private fundraiser in Northwest Washington was interrupted by Ellen Sturtz, who wanted the First Lady to get the president to sign an executive order banning LGBT discrimination. So she was being heckled by somebody who is left of center, who is, you know, left-wing politics, liberal politics, whatever. You know.
So it's someone that you would think would agree with Michelle Obama.
Yeah, that would be somebody on the same side, if you will, of the political divide as the president and his wife. It was not a conservative. According to a pool report from the Huffington Post's Amanda Turkle, Sturtz's interruption began halfway through Obama's 20-minute speech. Obama interrupted, paused, and proceeded to confront Sturtz face-to-face. One of the things I don't do well is this, replied the First Lady of the United States to loud applause. She left the lectern and moved over to the protesters, saying they could listen to me or you can take the mic, but I'm leaving. You all decide. You have one choice. The crowd started shouting that they wanted her, the First Lady, to continue. You need to go, said one woman near the protester. The protester was then escorted out shouting, lesbian, looking for federal equality before I die. First part of the quote was inaudible. Poole could not get their name before they were taken out.
What do you mean, Poole?
The Poole reporters. That is a Poole report, meaning it's one reporter reporting to a whole bunch of people. See?
Well, it's not necessarily one reporter, but it could be two or three.
Yeah, but they're reporting to all you guys, right?
What do you mean, you guys? You mean me?
Yeah.
Well, yes. I mean, I'd be there. I just don't like you saying that I wouldn't be the one. You think I'm out waiting for some kid? No, not Margaret Gray.
Well, where would you be?
I'd be the one in... What are you laughing? I'd be the one in there getting the pool report.
You play pool?
I play a little bit of... What do you mean, do I play pool?
Forget that, bud. It's not about playing pool. We're talking about...
Talk about a pool report, man. Yeah, I got your pool report.
It ain't pool report. I'm going to belt you, and then I'm going to kick you out.
Well, you can't kick me out and then belt me.
Yeah, I can. You want to see me do it?
No.
According to a pool report from the Huffington Post of Manitoba, Sturtz's interruption began halfway through. So anyway, according to Turkle's interview with Sturtz after the fundraiser, the activist's outburst was impromptu, and she added she was startled by Obama's response. Basically, I was asked by the First Lady to be quiet, and I can't be quiet any longer, Sturtz said, adding she obviously thought she was going to make an example of me or something. I wasn't scared at all. Well, it wasn't about you being scared, Ms. Sturtz. It was about you shutting up. The Washington Post had more description for Sturtz of the incident. She came right down in my face. I was taken aback. Well, yeah, you were interrupting her speech. But the protest wasn't completely off the cuff. Sturtz said that she attended the fundraiser with the intention of confronting the First Lady. DNC officials and DNC officials after the First Lady's speech, along with other members of Get Equal, a pro-LGBT rights group with a history of publicly confronting the president. Notably, the confrontation isn't spelled out in the official transcript of the First Lady's speech. Sturtz's interjection is simply written off as inaudible. And I don't care what you believe in, we, audience member inaudible, Mrs. Obama, wait, one of the things, audience member inaudible, Mrs. Obama, one of the things that I don't do well is this, applause, do you understand, applause, one of the things now, and then inaudible. So this lady who interrupted was inaudible. Because the confrontation happened at a private event, there's apparently no video readily available to the whole episode. Well, look, I mean, people are, people are heckling the president. One of the things, I don't like it personally, you know.
Well, Phil, I think the LGBT community has been patient long enough. And I think it's time, Phil, time for all of the LGBT people. What are you looking at, bud?
I'm waiting for you to finish. I don't understand.
What don't you understand?
Why don't you just say what you want to say? Why are you looking at him?
Because I don't like saying something and then I see him staring at me like I landed in a flying saucer. What do you want?
Well, we mean LGBT.
LGBT.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender.
No, that's not it.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's lesbian.
I think Phil's right.
What did you say?
LGBT.
Say it slow.
LG.
Right.
BT.
And what do you think that is?
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender.
No, you're full of crap.
Sounds right to me.
What is it with you, Margaret? I just said it, and you say I'm full of crap. Why? Because I said it before you did?
No, not because you said it before I did. I just think you're full of crap. The point that I'm making is this. The LGBT community has had the foot of the straight community on its neck for decades. And enough is enough. It's time now for the president to sign the non-discrimination language federally and make it legal and equal for the GB... God.
LGBT.
LGBT. Beeple.
Not beeple.
People to be beat. Let me back up.
Margaret, you know, we don't have all night here.
Let me back. The president needs to sign this legislation so that the bell beep.
I didn't do it.
I'm not blaming you.
so that the LGBT community gets the foot of the straight community off of its neck.
That's essentially what I'm trying to say, yes.
Well, the president's going to do... You know, the president has got to be the president, which means he's got to be... he's got to walk down the road a little bit more closer to the double yellow line than on either extreme. That's just the way it is. And I was sitting at having lunch today with a guy who voted for Obama. And this dude, he can't stand the job that Obama's done. He doesn't. I mean, I'm telling you that it is to me a sign of the times. It's a sign of how critical things are. It's a sign of how tough times are. When both sides of the political aisle don't like the job the president's doing. You know, the Republicans don't like it, the Democrats don't like it, nobody likes what a president's doing. It isn't that the president's doing a bad job, because that would mean the following thing, folks. If, because the Republicans and the Democrats don't like Obama, we think he's doing a good job, we're basically saying this then, that the Republicans and the Democrats know what they're talking about. And I don't think they do.
Well, what do you think? He's doing a good job?
I think he's doing about as good a job as he can do with a Congress and an American people that have no idea what direction they want to go in. No idea at all. We got some people want to go here. There's no consensus in this country. I love listening to people talking about the American people are fed up. Which part of the American people are fed up? And what are they fed up with? I can talk to any different segment of this society and find people are fed up with this. Some people are fed up with that. And you'd swear to God, they think they're everybody. They think that they got the ear and they have the voice of every American. No, they don't. They got the voice in the ear of the people that they have the voice in the ear of. So this country has got all kinds of factions in it. And I think the president's doing about as good a job with a country loaded down with people who haven't got a clue. Haven't got a clue. Even the... I'll tell you one of the reasons why that Tea Party went belly up, and it was obvious from the beginning, when those jackasses were talking about how they didn't want the government interfering any longer, they didn't want any more taxation, they didn't want to have the government this, that, and this, that, and then they got all bent out of shape when their Medicare was threatened. So right away you say, well, wait a second, man, just exactly who are these people again? What is it that you want? How much government do you want? What?
Well, I just think, Phil, that the president is letting down. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah, you got everybody confused. But I'll say this. The LGBT community has suffered long enough with these slobs. Now, if the president wants to get on board and come in for the big win, that's what I say he do. Or he does. But if he wants to stand out there... like a big P-U...
Yeah.
Then...
Okay, Margaret, I would suggest that before you make your big statements, that you figure out whether it's LGBT...
The only thing I said wrong was beeple instead of people, and that's because of all that L-B-B-B. There's too many Bs, you know?
There's only one B, LGBT.
The what?
There's only one B.
Well, it sounds like there's more than one B.
Who gives a damn? The president is, number one, that's about as controversial for him. He made the statement that he believes that there should be gay marriage. He made that statement. Now, he's got, politically, it's a lot tougher. You can say a lot of things, but politically, what is he going to back? What does he think is realistic? What does he think he can get done? What does he think he can't get done? What does he think, you know, is going to go over for people? See, you can talk about gay marriage. The American people in favor of it? Most Americans now say that they are. Does that mean we got a federal law going and it's totally cool and it's constitutional? That's a different story entirely. People may like it, but they don't know what it means. And I think, you know, when it comes to human rights, there is no time like the present.
Well, then you agree with me.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely, I agree with you. I'm just telling you, I know how tough a decision that would be for a president, given this very, very strange and at times extremely hypocritical mood of the country. Because not everybody thinks that being gay is a orientation. There's a lot of people that still believe it's some kind of a choice or something that happened to you when you were a kid that, you know, and they don't get it and they never will. And it's like they remind me of the people that think that it's against nature to have a black and a white person get married.
Ain't it? I'm kidding.
Hey, watch.
I'm kidding. I said I was kidding.
Don't kid. We'll be back. Final half hour, world famous Phil Henry Show. Don't get around about stuff like that.
Get out of here.
History fan. I'm looking at History Channel here, and they've got something on now. This is actually H2. I got to go over to their website because it's some footage that I've never seen before. It's documentary stuff, and it's, I'm not going to go. Don't worry. I'm not getting into it. It's World War II stuff.
Oh, God. Here we go with World War II. Hasn't that been fought and won?
Yes, it has. It just happens to be an area of interest for me. It's an area of interest for me. That's all. No big thing, you know. I don't want anybody else doesn't have to do it. And if anybody else out there is interested, though, history.com, and the name of this is called, it's the Third Reich DVD collection. But I'm telling you, some of it is in color. It's footage I've never seen before, and I thought I'd seen it all. It's color footage. It's home movies of some of the principals that were put on trial for Hitler's attempted assassination. It's propaganda stuff. It's late in the war, German civilian stuff. Insane, man.
What is it, on the channel, on a History Channel?
On the History Channel, yeah, on the History Channel. All right, so, yeah, man, it's crazy.
What is the fascination?
Margaret, what is it with you? I have fascination, you have fascination.
Well, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, what are you fascinated with?
I don't like the way you look at me when you say that.
What is it with you? I think everything I say is sexual. Everything that he says, everything around here, if we say something with our eyes wide...
I feel violated, yes.
What did I do?
You go, what do you like? And you looked at my breasts.
You got to be kidding. You think I...
No, I don't, Phil, but I think you're still a man. And so you go, what is it that you... And your eyes go, woo, they bugged out at least a half an inch...
Uh-huh.
Don't you laugh at me.
My eyes bugged out at least half an inch.
Yes, and then I saw them go, boop, and they looked down. It looked like you were either looking at my breasts or my elbow. You're laughing.
Yeah, I am laughing. Nope, that's not got anything to do with it. That's only me, you know.
And you still haven't answered the question about the camel toe. You see, this thing, the Joanna Rohrbach, it really drives me ape. And I'll tell you why. What was that?
Doing a monkey impression?
Man, that ain't funny at all. No, that's not funny, bud.
Why?
It's not funny. You going for the laugh sucks, okay? Doing a monkey impression.
Yeah? It drives me ape. This Joanna Rohrbach a prancer-size tape that she got the shot on the Today Show. She got the shot on the Tonight Show. She got the shot on the Tomorrow Show. She got the shot on the Tuesday, whatever.
All right, so she gets the shot. You and her knew each other, but you had nothing to do with that prancer-size.
I had nothing to do with the prancer-size video, but I did want to do one called the pancreas-size video. It was exercise for the pancreas. Pancreas cancer, or pancreatic cancer, is a cancer of the pancreas, not of a region of the world. And for me to try to sell that, the same time she was doing prancercise...
Wait, hold on for a minute.
What?
Yeah, what do you mean?
What don't you get?
Pancreas size is the what?
I said the pancreas size was an exercise that I developed for the pancreatic cancer. So that you would not get it.
What's that got to do with a part of the world?
Because some of the imbeciles that I was trying to talk to about this thought the pancreatic was an ocean or something.
And the cancer was named after...
After some part of the world, like the ocean or the pancreatic sea.
Who are the idiots you're talking to?
I was talking to these imbeciles at Simon and Schuster. There was a couple from a couple of real brain dead idiots. I mean brain dead. I mean Walking Dead type of brain dead. These guys were with, I think they were with Bantam Books. Real, just vacant dead eyes.
Good Lord. Man, how do you ever get that soul?
What are you two laughing at?
Well, by God, who are you talking to? The dead eyes?
These were some idiots, I'm telling you, brain dead idiots from Simon and Schuster.
And these guys thought pancreatic cancer was named after an ocean.
They thought it was the a sea or something.
Well, that's got nothing to do with this lady. She didn't do that to you. She had her Prancercise video.
No, I know that, Phil.
All right. She knocked it out of the park with a Prancercise video, and you stiffed with your pancreasize. How do you exercise the pancreas?
You exercise the pancreas by this. Here, I'll get up and show you.
Please don't lift up your skirt this time.
Shut your filthy mouth.
Hey, watch it.
Shut up. All right, now, you see I'm bending over at the waist, all right? You see that, Phil?
Yes.
All right. One, two, one, two. Oh, God.
You were sucking your gut in?
Yes, but it... Excuse me.
What was that, Robert?
Well, she's trying to suck the gut in that worst setup. What's it do?
It massages the pancreatic.
It's called the pancreas, you jackass.
Pancreas. And she was sucking her... You okay?
Yes, I'm... It's called the pancreas... And here, I'll do it again. One, two, one, two. But you've got to really suck it in. So I make one and... God.
Why are you making that noise?
Because that's the noise that comes up. Why am I making a noise?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't look like it's anything that's going to look good on a video.
Well, I demonstrated it on a video. And Frank said the same thing. He said, you're just sucking your gut in and letting it out. Suck it. It's not as sexy. It's not as... Can you... And then he said to me something that I'll never forgive him for. Something that I will remember as long as he and I are alive and together. He said to me, can you get some camel toe?
Hey!
Don't have him laugh.
Have him laugh? You're the one that said it. Frank wanted you to get some camel toe going for your pancreatic cancer exercise.
Yeah. Don't look at me, Phil, like there's a stink coming off of me. Yes! You're like this. You've got this face like something hits your nostrils that smells like egg by way of the lower colon.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you have that look on your face, Phil.
Okay, I don't know what she's talking about. So, Frank says to you, get him on the phone, will you, Frank Gray?
Yeah, what's the number?
The number's right there.
Sorry.
You get him on the phone. Frank said this to me when we were leaving the office, or leaving his office the other day. And that's what he was talking about. I don't know.
Okay, is Frank... Get him on the line. And the other thing is that we've got to wrap this up pretty quick. Hey, Frank, it's Phil Hendry. How you doing?
Hey, I'm better than Custer.
Hey, Margaret says that you asked her if she could get some camel toe going.
On the pancreatize. Is that right, Margaret?
Yes. And what did you say?
I told him if he wants to sell this videotape of a pancreas, videotape and a pancreas, that you're going to have to do something that's going to make the sex come out of it. So I said, the pancreas. I forget what I said, but I said that something.
She says that you said get some camel toe.
Well, I made the suggestion to him, you know, when a woman, I should say, puts on a tight pair of pants and he's wearing those pants, you know, and you can see his, you know, and so I was thinking that he could get it tight and nice, you know, and then, you know.
No, we don't know, Frank. Explain it so that everyone knows what you think of your wife.
I happen to love my wife very much. Don't start with whether I love my wife. I love him very much. I said to him, can you get some camel toe? Every woman does. Why can't he?
And what does that mean, every woman does?
Well, take a look at your pal there, Rohrbach. He's got it going on. And he's, how old is he? He's about 70, and I'll tell you what, for a 70-year-old woman, he's got a great-looking ass. And I'll tell you.
Well, I'm not going to get gratuitous camel toe.
No one's talking about gratuitous camel toe. I'm only asking you that if your friend Joanna Rohrbach got it going on, if he can do it, you can do it. You know, women all over America are wearing the real tight shorts and everything, and then they go out dancing and dining and so forth. And you've got women. I saw a lady here last week at the Belvedere, and he had on the tightest pair of pants you've ever seen, right? And he had a terrific body, but there was his camel toe.
Well, I mean, that's a little on the weird side. I mean, nobody wants to see that. It's almost like seeing a guy's, package without the benefit of any support. You know, it's just sort of rolling around in there. That looks kind of funky, don't you think?
Well, to each his own. I mean, I've run into some women. There was a lady one day when I was much younger, and he said to me, "Boy, aren't you something?" And I said, "Yeah, I said you ought to see me after the sun goes down." And he said, "Wouldn't I like to know?" And so he and I got together, and 9 months later, he gave me a daughter.
Thank you.
You bet.
Well?
Aren't you having yourself a good time?
I think Frank's a great man.
Oh, do you now? Well, I'll let him know when I get home.
I think he's a great man. We'll be right back, folks, with our final wrap-up here tonight. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Truth is our bitch.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
And he gave me a daughter, and he was the cutest little...
famous Phil Henry Show.
Just as an addendum, and this is I think this is fair of Mr. Douglas, because there was a bit of a flap when he said that it was oral sex that might have caused his cancer, and the reason being, it wasn't so much I think a lot of guys particularly said, "Oh, well, excuse me, your royal oral highness," you know. I think that's kind of a way, that's where we go. And Michael Douglas probably wasn't trying to, he was probably not trying to present that at all. But he did admit there was a tribute to the late Marvin Hamlisch. He had a public relations headache when the Guardian newspaper reported he blamed oral sex for his cancer. And his representative quickly contested the story. But the Behind the Candelabra star has found a silver lining, he said on Monday. "I never expected to become a poster boy for head and neck cancer. But if after what started out as trying to answer a couple of questions about the suspected source of this disease results in opening up discussion and furthering public awareness, then I'll stand by that," Douglas said at an American Cancer Society tribute to composer Marvin Hamlisch. "Head and neck cancer can be caused by many things, including HPV virus, smoking, alcohol, drug abuse, genes, environment, and stress. I do not know what caused my particular cancer. If I did, I'd have a Nobel Prize."
All right, so that backs off of the idea that he was saying...
Right, that he was saying it was caused by oral sex. He might have said something that could easily have been taken that way. And here's the reason why it became a big deal yesterday. I know I was talking to some people about it on Facebook, and I said, "Well, you know, you don't want to give people the wrong idea." And somebody jumped in and said, "Well, you know, Phil, it really does cause it." I said, "What is the percentage?" And it turned out, well, it's under 30%. It's not even the most common cause of it. And you can find out whether that was the source or not by way of a biopsy. So right away, you got to give people the right scoop, man. You know, this is going to cause head and neck cancer, oral sex. No, not necessarily. In fact, under 30% of all cases is caused by that. Most of it is cigarette smoking, blah, 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 all this jazz that he was talking about. But, as soon as a cat, see, that's the thing, man, about when actors or any kind of public personality or anyone who, you know, somebody we admire comes out and says, aha, this is the thing. They can skew the information. You know, what are you looking at?
Well, you're all like, aha.
Yeah, yo, that was weird. That didn't make any sense.
What do you mean?
Well, you're talking really fast. You're going, aha, blah, 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 blah.
Well, wait. No, I am saying something. You guys are going blah, 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 blah. I said, if there's a guy that makes a statement who happens to be a public personality, who happens to be a movie star or somebody that we admire, that statement that they make will automatically be skewed. It will automatically take on more importance than it should. It will automatically be given more credulity. It will automatically take on a more truthful aura, and it should not necessarily. And when Michael Douglas says this thing about oral sex, everybody starts thinking, oh, wow, that's how I got it. Or that's how he got it.
How I got it.
How he got it. God. The actor concluded, so I gave you all that stuff. I do know that I am here today because of all the incredible advances in cancer research and treatment. Early awareness is a key factor. If this episode contributes to public awareness, all the better. The Guardian published an interview in which Michael seemed to attribute his throat cancer to oral sex. Asked if he regretted years of smoking and drinking in light of his diagnosis, Douglas replied, no, because without wanting to get too specific, this particular cancer is caused by HPV, which actually comes about from cunnilingus.
Oh, man.
Well, what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to tell you that when he made that statement, it sounds like, hey, you know, I don't want to say anything, but, you know,
yeah, he's all, yeah, check it out.
No, he didn't. He just said this particular cancer.
He didn't know, though. He didn't know. And he finally had to come clean and say, you know what? I didn't know. I don't know what caused it. And, you know, I think that there was a little bit of manliness, credibility, manliness cred.
Oh, right, Phil. The guy's head is rotting off of his shoulders as the result of cancer.
What?
What? You heard me.
Yeah, well, I mean,
his head's rotting off of his shoulders.
By way of cancer, and you're talking about manliness cred. No one cares about that.
Well, yeah, you're right, okay? And I would be loath to say that, you know, Michael Douglas is a guy, is the kind of guy that's going to butcher up the facts and butcher up the truth just so he can look like some kind of, you know, Mr. Oral, but that's what it sounded like to me. So...
Well, what's this manhood cred?
You know what I'm saying. All right, folks, so that's the end of that, man, and I don't want to hear any more about it. I don't want to hear any more about it. What other news you got there, bud?
Well, we got a probably should report on our sports if we know anything about it.
We don't know anything about the sports. I don't know who's in the NHL, and I don't know who's in the NBA.
Should we stop reporting it?
We probably should stop reporting it. I don't care anymore. I don't. I mean, the only thing that I did mention today, and this is something that, this is the only area of sports that I was interested in today, because I'm interested in football. I don't care about hockey or basketball. I'm not putting it down. It's fine. It's a great, two great sports. They're phenomenal. They're fantastic. Love them. But I don't care. I just don't care. I mean, I can get interested if my teams, like if the Kings, if the Lakers, whatever. But no, thank you. Now, the L.A. Rams coming back to L.A. from St. Louis, I can get with that. So we joined up a group called Bring the Rams Back to L.A. On Facebook. I'd like you to go over and find it and join up, too. And let's do the right thing, get them out of St. Louis and bring them back to L.A. where they belong. Native American feather sparks graduation debate, school's tough rules for grads. This year, graduation has become a battleground for some of the school officials and students, with schools tightening restrictions on who gets to walk. Seniors are fighting for their rights in the last hours of their high school careers. Take 17-year-old Chelsea Raymer. Her private school, Escambia Academy, is holding the Alabama grad's diploma and transcript until she pays a $1,000 fine, all because she hung a lone eagle feather alongside her cap's tassel during her May 23rd commencement ceremony. Raymer, a member of the, Porock Creek Band of Indians, told Indian Country Today Media that the feather was an important spiritual and cultural symbol of pride, and that she'd decided to wear it even after being warned not to by then-headmaster Betty Warren, who has since been replaced, though it's unclear whether this was related to the incident. Escambia's dress code prohibits extraneous items during graduation exercises unless approved by the administration. What do you think of that?
Well, I think she claims to be Native American.
Yes, she does.
And when you look at this girl, she's got blue eyes, brown hair, freckles. If she's an Indian, then friend, I'm a Martian.
Well, okay, Margaret, that's not for us to decide, okay?
Yeah, you don't know if she's got an Indian in her or not.
If she's got an Indian in her?
She's got any Indian blood in her.
Well, look at that face, Phil. Do you think that's a Native American face?
I don't know. I'm not going to... If she claims it, and she is a member of this band, then she is. Are you saying if she was, then it would be cool to wear the feather?
I think it would be okay to wear the feather as a religious statement if other girls were wearing, for instance, a crucifix, a Star of David, or that kind of deal. But if she's a white girl trying to pass as an Indian, and she puts the feather on to be cool and to be in with the Indians, you see what I'm saying?
Not really, no.
Yes, you do. You just want to be a pain in the...
World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by me, Phil Henry, and Dan Northcraft. And join us at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass for more excitement after the show tonight. Of course, check out our homepage. We will have the show log up for you. Until tonight, 10 o'clock, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.